I was having this conversation yesterday with a woman I know who grew up in Northern Ireland, and she was telling me a story about something naughty that she'd done when she was a little kid. And she said that she'd got grounded for it. And I said, well, yeah, but you said you were six. So what does that even mean functionally for a six-year-old? You don't go anywhere when you're a six-year-old.
Right.
And she was like, what are you talking about? Like, in the summer, your mum opens the door, out you go, you come back at dinner time. And I was like, that is not the growing up in London experience.
The great outdoors, what was
like,
that?
What are you talking about? Can you imagine that being the case in a city?
In like suburban London, in like those areas, it's kind of like the worst of all worlds, right? Because it's kind of like, you can't, there's a stranger danger thing, which I think like is really amplified by like news you hear from London, right? So it's like, oh, you know, in London, they're like putting knives and apples and stuff. Like, you know, you can't go out. But on the other hand, there's also like people who are so protective over their property that like they hate children going anywhere near it. So they'll get really angry at like kids, especially kids who are like dressed up, like going anywhere near their Range Rovers, or like, you know, that they don't know the code to their gate. It's like, so it's kind of like this worst of all things where kids are not allowed to enjoy Halloween. But at the same time, it's like, oh no, we're not letting you enjoy Halloween because we're trying to protect you from like nefarious, like suburban, like other nefarious suburban people who might be putting like weapons or poison in your cat in your sweets.
I will say one thing for the UK Halloween, and that is that there is a better quality of ghosts in the UK than there is in America. They're a bit shit, American ghosts.
As in, they're made out of bed sheets with cut out eyes in America, whereas here they're real.
No, in America they're not real. Here they're real.
The actual Tudor ghosts.
Yeah, we've got proper ghosts. They don't have, like, they think that like a ghost from like the 50s is a big deal, but no.
I'm sure Anne Boleyn is walking around the streets of Bethnal Green. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. She's not going to America, is she? She's not floating over there. She's
definitely
like wandering around Chicago. No, absolutely not.
R.I.P. Anne Boleyn, you would have loved candy corn. Let's talk about a post. Let's talk about a post that's been living rent-free in my brain since it kind of since it was posted. But Phoebe, you haven't seen this before, right? Okay, so we've like got these. This is a visual post. It is a food post. We spoke about food a little bit on an episode recently, and about how food is always going viral and how like there are political connotations to the trends of like food posts. But this is a really interesting one because of just the way that it goes. So this is from an account called Tinksorg, Anglo Respect to 40K. This is a post on October 23rd where they start saying, "Time for a lesson in North Germanic food supremacy, folks." This time we'll be talking about the perfidious that English may be proud of figuring out how to mash potatoes, but only the Nord in capital letters has discovered the secrets of mashing potatoes the right way.
See, personally, whenever I see the words Germanic and supremacy together, that's not unsettling at all. That's fine. That's not something which bothers me. In fact, I think it's good.
Also, you know, only the Nord knows how to mash potatoes the right way. Like, I'm glad we cleared that up. I didn't know I needed a Viking axe to mash
potatoes.
To be fair,
the English are perfidious.
Yeah, I would say it's a word that I never really encountered, like, ever. But
it's not in kind of common usage.
Fair enough. Okay, so they post like this picture of, I guess, if this is a ham hock.
Who knows?
I don't know what that is.
The three of us, I feel, are uniquely ill-equipped to identify correct,
pork.
Different kinds of pork.
Yeah. Okay.
We should have got a pork correspondent in.
We should have got
really
a pork
connoisseur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can identify the orange thing. Perhaps those are boiled
These
carrots.
These are carrots.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We know that.
These are
we
boiled
know
carrots.
That those are carrots. Okay. Okay.
Wonderful.
And you've got this like yellow mashed potato with like
beet mash,
some white flakes in it. I don't know whether these are like onion bits.
What's that green? Is that like a little bit of coriander?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
really Germanic.
Coriander.
Yeah.
Very Germanic.
Okay, so the dish is called Rotmus med Fleskleg.
See, that, thank you for pronouncing that, because I had no idea how to approach it.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, ham hock with
Please don't
mash.
Correct my pronunciation.
And it's one
I'm already down bad enough for not being appropriately North Germanic and supreme.
Okay, so like this is a picture of a ham hock with some potatoes. Fine, like not a type of food, but I bet any of us would have encountered.
Is beet like, mash potatoes, or is it like beets and potatoes and like other stuff?
I think
stuff?
It's beet and potatoes like mashed together. So it goes into like how to describe it. So in this dish, ham hock is boiled with carrots, allspice, the giant of Nordic cuisine, the best spice in the world. Uh-huh. And onions until you're ready to eat. But then the carrots, rutabaga, and potatoes are added to the broth to form the ham hock and boiled until soft. And then there's this other picture.
See, boiled until soft is a trigger phrase for me, because there's absolutely no need to be boiling your food until it's soft. It's like, unless it's like a particular kind of food. Anyway, we'll continue.
Yeah, we can talk about different types of boiling.
You know, allspice, you know, classically mined from the fjords of Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, giant of Nordic cuisine.
So those far, are the two things they have in Norway, fjords and allspice. This is well known. I can't imagine what problem you might have with the characterization of allspice as Nordic.
So far, fine. You're just doing food posting is kind of weird, but like
again, fortunately, nothing in history,
could
give us any information about where allspice might come from,
or potatoes for that matter.
No, or potatoes. For
famous
that
Scandinavian.
Yeah, they just that information is just lost.
But then at the end of this thread, Anglo Respecter sort of just like takes a really weird turn.
It's dramatic.
And then goes, imagine being a Muslim and not being able to eat this. Just imagine. I won't, because I couldn't live without Rotmosk and
Fleskleg.
Thank you. If people get mad, yeah, people, please don't get mad at me. Get mad at Phoebe.
Like, honestly, I really like the word Fleskleg, so I'm wondering whether I should maybe take this person's side, because I think this is a wonderful word. Which do you think is which? Do you think that's the ham hock, or do you think that's the mashed?
The Fleskleg.
The flesh.
I'm gonna look it up now before we react to the picture.
Okay.
So I don't want to like show my ass.
It's gonna turn out to be something completely different. Oh, it's that is the ham hock. Ham hock.
Yes, so the flesh cake is the ham hock. Right. Yeah. So I guess the rotmos then is the potato. So let me just finish. I won't, because I couldn't live without the rotmos and flesh cake. Just another example of why North Germanic food is the best in the world. And then they add like this other picture of the rotmos and fleshkleg with the mustard and this very strange white sauce, which from what it implies in the initial thread, like the sauce is basically kind of like boiled ham water. That's kind of what it implies, and that's probably why it has the kind of
they use the word broth, which I feel is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Well, so then they post this picture, and this picture has sort of been going viral for a bit. It's got, at the time of like talking about this, it has 8,512 quote tweets, most of which are actually coming from like Muslims who are kind of posting pictures of like kebabs and other type and like Middle Eastern food. I don't know. To me, this like it's a very strange post, because it sort of reminds me a little bit of like back when people used to talk about bacon and the idea of like, oh, imagine being a Muslim and not being able to eat a bacon sandwich. And then people would post like other types of sandwiches you could have. I've seen this type of post play out before, but like it feels different this time because of the whole chat around like North Germanic supremacy and like where this poster comes from, where they are kind of like, they do sort of feel like a kind of like right wing or like a post-right reactionary, right? So it's, and to me, it also kind of encompasses this other trend that we've sort of spoken about too, which is when you're online, there are only like free conversations and everything sort of has to get wrapped up into it, meaning that you can't just say, oh, this is like an interesting dish from like, you know, this particular area and I think most people should have it. It's like, no, by having this dish you're like, you know, you are asserting your ethnic identity at a time when the liberal elite want to take it away from you.